Well, let's go to the Word of God tonight. That's two Wednesdays from tonight after the service. John chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. I want to just preach about the plan of deliverance tonight. And I have preached from this scripture before, but I just felt to preach from the same text tonight because what we need is deliverance. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jesus told his disciples that when they prayed, they should say, "Lord, deliver us." Amen. Deliver us. I need deliverance tonight. Do you need deliverance tonight? I need the help and the strength and the hand of God. Amen. And there is one and only one place where we can find deliverance. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you for the touch of your Spirit. We thank you for your hand that is upon us, O God. I ask that you will bless and anoint. I ask you, Lord, that you will touch us, that you will help us. We give you thanks, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Let's get right into the word of the Lord. And my, the way the weather has been going, warm 1 week and then a few days of really cold. Guess we're going to have that again for another week. I think my forecast said 1 inch of snow next Saturday, and I say praise God. We're going to go through winter. Let's have some winter. Amen. Let's make a snowman or two. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And I don't want too much now. I pastored in Wisconsin, and it got very cold up there. And I remember there was a blizzard, and it was literally blowing 50 miles an hour. And there were drifts of snow like this on the road, and I'd hit a drift and get up speed and hit a drift and give up speed or get up speed. And the temperature was 50 below zero, and that's without the wind chill. Amen. Now, you talk about cold. That was cold, and I said, "God, if you get me out of here, I'll never come back." Praise the Lord. And I haven't been back, but I'm not sure it's the will of God that some people even live in those areas, but they do. Amen. I don't know why I got off onto that tonight. Somebody needs to smile just a little bit. Praise God. You know, when we look at the Word of God and we begin to study the Word of God, and I believe that all of us need to be a student of the Word of God as much as possible. Amen. And the Bible starts out in the Garden of Eden. Amen. And it starts out with God putting them in this beautiful place in Genesis chapter 2. And this is where the Lord gave them a commandment in verse 16, Genesis 2 and 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." And so we find here the commandment, the original commandment to Adam and to Eve about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'm sorry, that's not correct. It was the commandment to Adam. Amen. It was not a commandment to Eve because Eve had not been created yet. Amen. Adam was still awake. He hadn't fallen asleep and had the surgery that he had. Amen. That's on down a few more verses. So the commandment came to them, and it's important that we get the commandment of God through legitimate sources. Praise God. It's very important that we don't just go and study this, that, and the other. There are some who are reading other books, they say, "Well, I don't believe that it's scripture. I just want to read it." But all they do is talk about these things, and the book of Thomas is one of those that they say Thomas wrote, but it was not included in Scripture, but it has relevant things for us. You know, I really don't need to read those kind of things. All I need is the Word of God. Amen. And what we have tonight is complete. Paul said, if any man preach anything other than what we have preached, let him be accursed. So at the end of the apostolic age, when the apostles were gone, there was and is no new doctrines. Amen. Now there are new doctrines, but they're not of God. I may get to preach this sometime. I've had it on my notes for quite a while. But there are doctrines of God. Amen. The Bible talks about the doctrine of God, and it also talks about the doctrine of men. And then it talks about the doctrine of devils. Amen. And it's very important out of those three areas that we get it right. Amen. I want the doctrine of God in my heart. I want the doctrine of God down deep inside of me. But there are doctrines of devils. Amen. And the devil is the deceiver. He has been at work in our world since he was cast down to the earth because of his rebellion. Verse 17 there of Genesis chapter 2, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And down the road in time, the woman steps onto the scene, and the serpent comes to her. The serpent was the devil. Amen. He's represented as the devil. He's a snake. Amen. I don't like snakes. I hate snakes. And if you love snakes, I'm going to pray for you. There's something wrong with you. Amen. And I don't like them. I don't want them even close to me. 5-10 feet is close enough for me, as long as they're going in the opposite direction. But this serpent was there and walked on all 4 feet. And the Bible tells us that after the curse upon the serpent, that he would have to crawl upon his belly. Amen. Probably took him a little while to figure that out, but he's mastered crawling around on his belly. He can't stand upright because he has been cast down by God. But it doesn't make it so that he does not have a doctrine that he teaches. And you can always know what false doctrine is because it will give some liberty to the flesh. It will always give some liberty to the flesh to sin and to do whatever it wants to do. And we see here that Eve in Genesis chapter 3, the serpent comes to her in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. That means he was sneaky. Amen. That means he was slimy and he was sneaky. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And he questioned, he wanted to know her knowledge of the word of God and of the commandments of God. It's very important that we know and we understand and we live the commandments of God. Praise the Lord. And the woman answered him in verse 2, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God hath said. And now she's going to quote God. She's going to quote Scripture because it is the word of the Lord. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest you die. Now, if you do a comparison of verse 3 in chapter 3 and chapter 2 and verse 17, God never said you couldn't touch it. Amen. She added to the word of God. And it told the devil, the serpent, that she really did not have a full understanding of what God had said. And there are multitudes, literally billions and billions of people. And in fact, I would say anything outside of the kingdom of God has been deceived by the serpent with doctrines of devils and doctrines of men. Amen. It doesn't matter if it's an atheistic country or a country that believes in some other doctrine or teaching. It doesn't matter how good it feels. It doesn't matter even if there are miracles that take place. It doesn't matter what is happening. If it's not the word of God, then it's not of God. Amen. It is of the devil or it is of man. And either way, it's not going to go up. It's going to go down. And so the serpent said unto her, there in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. God's lying to you. It's amazing how liars work. Amen. They always say that you're the one that lied when actually they are the ones that lied. And the devil is a liar. Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. The truth was not in him. And when we tell a lie, we are of the spirit of the devil. Amen. He started it all. And he told her, he said, you shall not surely die. And then he laid an ego trip on God. And he said, but you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. It's going to be good for you. This fruit is going to bless you. And you can look at this story about the tree, or you can look at any sin that is committed in this world. Amen. And in fact, we can see that in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That doesn't mean that he has a devil in him, but he is of the spirit of the devil. Amen. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And he told her, he said, you're not going to die, but this is good. Amen. You're going to be like God. You're going to know things that God never intended for you to know. Listen to me tonight. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was just that. It was the knowledge of good. There were good things that was in that tree, but it was also the knowledge of evil. And I have preached this for many, many years now, that the internet that we have is our modern day tree of knowledge of good and evil. I wished I got a better amen out of that one. Just because it's in the internet or on the internet doesn't mean that it's true. The problem here was that Eve did not have a filter. Amen. Moms and dads, we got to watch what our children look at on the internet and where they go and why they go there. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And children, young people, if your parents put restrictions on you for the internet, you ought to thank God for that. If they're restricting you from having a cell phone with internet access, you ought to thank God for that. Because somebody is able to filter what is going on. Someone is able to understand what is taking place. Amen. And has the courage to stand up and say, no, we're not going to do that. But it's always when you're alone. It's always when you're by yourself and your husband isn't there, your wife isn't there, that the devil shows up, that mom and dad is not there, and you're in the darkness of your room and you begin to look at things. Amen. Nobody's told me anything, all right? But I'm just preaching the Word of God tonight, and all of a sudden, it just pops up right there in front of your face, and you have to make a decision. Well, I'll tell you tonight, it's best to not even have to make that decision. We don't even want to go near to that serpent. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, we don't want to get near to that because he will tell you this is good. The reason you feel good when you see that is because it is good, and mom and dad are trying to keep away some good things from you. They're trying to restrict you, and you really are old enough to be free. That's what the devil will tell you. You're old enough to make your own decisions, but I'm telling you what, just because if some of you here tonight are 18 above, doesn't mean that you know everything and you have the capacity to say no to everything. Well, praise the Lord. There's got to be a conscious decision in your mind and your heart. I'm going to stay with what God said. God said, if I eat of this fruit, I'm going to die, and I don't want to die. Amen. The Lord said, don't do this because it's not good for you. And Satan will always come along and say the opposite and say it is good for you. And God is trying to withhold something from you. The pastor is trying to withhold something from you. Mom and dad is trying to withhold something from you. And you need to be free. God set us free. Amen. And we're not under bondage anymore. We can wear chains around our neck because we're free. I've heard that in the far distant past. Amen. And one of the young ministers in the church where I was at said, when does a chain represent freedom? Amen. It doesn't, but the devil has a way of deceiving. The devil has a way, and he's slick and he's smooth, and his words are like butter that comes off of his tongue. Oh, and he appeals to the very thing that you and I struggle with. And all of that, James talked about it, the first pastor of the New Testament church, James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15. But every man, everybody said every man. Every man, that's every man and every woman, that's mankind. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. Amen. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's some very powerful truths in this scripture here. When we talk about lust, and that I'm going to read a scripture about that. But when we talk about lust and we talk about being enticed or tempted, amen. Then what we see here is that it is a spirit that says, "I want," amen. I want. I want what my neighbor has. I want some free answers to my grades at school. I'm going to go and get this because I want this. Your flesh will tell you over and over and over as you live life. Amen. I want this. I want this. I want this. It will tell you that this is what you need. And many, many times you don't even think about it. You won't stop and say, now, is this good for me? But we have that tendency. I'm talking to Holy Ghost people here tonight. We have the tendency just to naturally go in that direction. Amen. We tend to have that drawing. Amen. Young men, when a pretty girl walks by, you don't have to think about it. All of a sudden, your head starts turning and going in that direction. And young ladies, the same situation. Maybe not for all of the young ladies here tonight. Somebody's already disagreeing with me. But, well, somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. The lust of the flesh. And it takes a whole lot of different avenues and all those different things. One person may be interested in one thing and another in another thing, but it is all the very same thing. Amen. And lust says, I want. But then the Bible says that when lust hath conceived, and so the only way that lust can conceive is when pride is involved. Amen. Because when pride is involved, pride says, I deserve. And so when lust says, I want, and pride says, I deserve, there is a conception of sin. Amen. There is a conception of sin that takes place, and when the sin is finished, it brings forth death. Praise God. And so that's exactly what happened to Eve, and then she gave to her husband, and the Bible says Eve was deceived in the transgression. She did not hear it directly from God. She heard it from her husband. But the Bible says that Adam was not deceived. Amen. Adam made a conscious decision. There was lust and pride in his heart as well. I don't want to lose my wife. I'm going to go in the direction that she's going. And so he was not deceived in the transgression, but he sinned willfully. And so the Lord had to cast them out of the garden. And even though they almost lived to be 1,000 years old, according to the word of God, they died the death because of sin. And the sin that took place in the garden was passed on to Cain and Abel. It was passed on to everyone after that, and there was only one generation. They were only one generation away from an outright murder that took place because of lust and pride. Amen. I want to be blessed, and I deserve to be blessed, and the only way that I'm going to get my blessing is I've got to get rid of the person that is blessed. Amen. It's an age-old thing. It's an age-old struggle. It is the epic battle in humanity, one struggling against another because of lust and pride. Amen. We can see that in Scripture, all of us are going to be tempted, and all of us are going to go in the direction of lust and pride. Amen. All of us, because all have sinned and fallen short. Amen. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world. Everybody said all. That means everything that is in the world. Your internet. Amen. The advertisements that come over your internet. Amen. The spirit that is in your public school system. And it doesn't have to even be a public school system. It can be in a private school system. Amen. You say, why? I'll tell you why. Because all have sinned and fallen short. Somebody said amen. 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 Some don't know how to say it, but they're trying. Praise God. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Are you listening tonight? I hope you are. Because every one of us need deliverance. Every one of us need deliverance from something in our lives. And Jesus said, pray, deliver us. Amen. We need deliverance tonight. And it says, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then you can read verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, praise God. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And so, Jesus understood this. He was literally tempted of the devil, Matthew 4:1. And he was tempted with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. This lets us to know that Jesus was a man. Amen. The flesh of Jesus Christ was a man. Because the Bible says that God does not tempt anyone, and God cannot be tempted by anyone. Amen. He cannot be tempted with sin because God does not have the ability to sin. Praise God. He is holy within himself. He is pure within himself. There is nothing about him that is evil or bad. Amen. But our God is a good God tonight. He is a holy God. He is the Holy Spirit of the universe. Amen. He is holy within himself. He does not need any outside stimulus to make him holy. He does not need any power to make himself holy. He stands alone as God Almighty. Praise God. But Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. And if you read in the scripture, this is immediately following the last verse in chapter 3. It was immediately following his baptism, where he was baptized by John the Baptist, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Not only was he the Son of God, but he was our example and is our example. And so after baptism, after the Spirit descends upon us, we will experience temptation. Amen. Temptation is not a sin, but when it is conceived by pride, amen, it becomes sin. Being tempted, amen, being tempted of whatever it is that your flesh desires is not a sin. It's only a sin when you go ahead and you follow the feeling of your flesh. Somebody said amen. Amen. And he was tempted of the devil after his baptism, after the Spirit descended upon him like as a dove. There wasn't a dove flying around, but it was the Spirit. Amen. It was the anointing which was already upon him, but it was a confirmation of who he was. He was not just a man. He was the literal Son of God, procreated by God Almighty. His mother was Mary, and his father was God Almighty. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. Praise God. Say, well, this is old hat. It ought to never get old hat to anybody. Praise God. And so the devil tempted him in those three areas. I won't go into it tonight, but he was tempted with the lust of the flesh, turn those stones to bread. He was tempted by the lust of the eyes. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He was tempted with the lust of the flesh. All three, or the pride. Amen. He said, cast yourself down and the angels will pick you up. Go ahead, prove who you are. But he did not do that because he didn't have sin. He didn't have pride in his heart. Amen. He was tempted, and somebody asked a question, could he have sinned? Yes, he could have, but he did not. Amen. He was sinless because he leaned upon the nature of his Father. Praise God. It says in Scripture, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was reconciling the world back to him, amen, through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. If Jesus, there is a doctrine that is floating around, it's a doctrine of men, or it is actually, you could classify it a doctrine of devils, and it is the divine flesh doctrine. It has created a major split in the apostolic movement, and there are many other denominations that ascribe to this as well. People in other denominations. In Ethiopia, there was a major, major conflict over this doctrine that the flesh of Jesus Christ was divine. If the flesh of Jesus Christ was divine, then it would not have been a human sacrifice. Praise God. In the Old Testament, it was a sinless sacrifice, but it was an animal, and it was animal blood. Amen. But the penalty of death is that a human being that sins, he must die. Amen. It has to be a human being that dies in order for there to be a price that is paid. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. And so Jesus was a man, 100% man. He did not have divine flesh. He had human flesh. But he had a spirit within him that was divine. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God, not imputing their sins unto them, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's not word for word. For he that made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And if you believe tonight that Jesus that his flesh was divine flesh, then you believe tonight that divine flesh can become sin. I don't believe that divine flesh can become sin. Amen. There is no such thing as divine flesh. It's actually a contradiction of terms. There is no way that flesh can be divine. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. Wish somebody would help me a little bit here tonight. Praise God. He did not have divine flesh. There are many other doctrines of men and of devils that say Jesus Christ is this, that, and the other. Amen. In Hebrews, it tells us that he was made a little lower than the angels. Amen. But some say that Jesus Christ, the Jehovah's Witness will say that Jesus Christ was Michael the Archangel. But I'm telling you tonight, an angel does not have blood. Amen. An angel is a spirit, and spirits do not have flesh and blood like we do. They may be able to appear as a man or a woman. Praise God. But they do not have the ability to bring about redemption. There's only one and only one who can bring redemption, and that is Jesus Christ, because he was and is the Son of God, the literal Son of God. Amen. And he went to Calvary to save you and I from our sins. He did. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. Numbers chapter 21 and verse 4. And this is what I read in the opening scripture here tonight. I'm not going to preach a long time, but I want to try to help someone here tonight. Numbers 21 and 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged. Everybody said discouraged. Discouraged because of the way. And that word discouraged there, you say, well, we get discouraged sometime. And that's okay. The Lord knows that we are weak. The Bible says he knows our frame. He knows that we get discouraged sometimes. But there was a difference in normal discouragement and the discouragement that was here in this story. The discouragement the much discouraged, the Bible says, because of the way. Not only were they discouraged, but they took their discouragement to others. And they convinced others. And others said, you know, I've been discouraged too. Maybe there's a problem here. This salvation that we experienced was great. But, you know, maybe there's another way. Maybe there's an easier way. Maybe we can bypass the will of God and the direction of the Lord in our lives. You can't do that. Amen. You have to follow God's plan and God's way. But they were much discouraged. And that word discouraged there means to grieve. It means to loathe or to detest, or it also means to mourn. Amen. And some mourn and some detest this way after they begin to go in this way. The word way there means a passing or a passageway. There was literally a road. Amen. The road that led out of Egypt, went through the mountains and ended at the Red Sea. And the Bible says that God made a road through the middle of the water, and they passed over on dry ground. What a great salvation it is. But hear me tonight, once we pass through the Red Sea, once we pass through the waters of baptism, we're not there yet. There is a road that we must travel. And sometimes we sing the song about the gravel road. We have a gravel road, or we have a highway. Amen. But the songwriter said, the gravel road is mine. It has borne the load of many travelers. It may be dusty and it may be winding. And it may seem like we're never going to get there. It's in the far distance. I'm just beginning to get discouraged because of the way. Listen, don't get discouraged by the way. And the reason I say that tonight is because if you get discouraged like they did, all of a sudden there's going to be an exit off of the way. All of a sudden there's going to be another way that presents itself. Another way in which the serpent in the background will say, you're going to be blessed if you go this way. If you stay where you're at, if you continue where you're going, it's going to end up in more trouble and more heartache. It's time to bail out of this way and go in a different direction. But hear me tonight. There's only one salvation. There's only one deliverer, and his name is Jesus Christ. There's only one way, only one faith, one baptism, one church. Praise God. One God and Father of all. There's only one. Amen. And the only way that we're going to be delivered from the time and the hour of temptation, you're going to have to get your nose and your eyes and your ears and your heart and every part of your life, you're going to have to get it into the good word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Amen. It is the word of God that's going to give you direction in your life. So they were in sin, and you can go through the story. And we know it was the devil that tempted them, and they were tempted in the wilderness, and all of a sudden snakes came into the camp. Began to bite the people. And many of the people of Israel died of the bites of the snakes. I got a feeling that God was allowing this to happen, but I think he was also directing it for our admonition, and so that you and I can understand how God wants us to go through this world. I think the snakes probably only went to the houses of those that were complaining. They only went to the homes and to the individuals. God led them, and they bit them. The snakes that are in that area, I've said this many times, was the saw-scaled viper and the carpet viper. And both of those snakes have deadly bites, as many of them do. And it was a little bit different. They didn't just die instantly. They say that the most venomous snake in the world, if you put the venom on your skin, it will actually melt your skin. It is that poisonous. It is that toxic. But the saw-scaled and the carpet viper, when they bite you, for the first few days, you feel really good. You actually feel better. But it gets into your system, and it goes to the blood. It goes to the very life of your existence, and it begins to burst the corpuscles, the small veins in your body. And literally, you bleed to death from the inside out. Isn't that a beautiful picture, if we could call it beautiful, of sin and how sin does in your life? Oh, if you watch someone sin, you could be turned off by it. But when you get involved in it, it feels so good. Amen. It feels so good that I stole something and got away with it. It feels so good, amen, that I got involved in sin. But just give it a few days, my friend. Just give it a few days. And before you know it, everything is going to turn in a different direction. Sometimes we've seen those that ran after sin, and then they catch it, and they enjoy it for a season of time. But I'm telling you, sin turns around and begins to chase them, and you're not going to get away from it either. Praise God. But Moses, as a young man, when he was come to age, which was probably somewhere around 16, 17, or 18, when he was come to age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Sin is enjoyable for a season, and a season only. Amen. There is another place where we have pleasure, and that is in God, and that pleasure will last for eternity. So it comes down to what you are desiring in your life. Temporary pleasure or eternal pleasure? Praise God. So Moses went to the Lord. All these people are dying of these snake bites. And I've preached from this many times, but I just feel like somebody could be blessed by this. He said, make a brass pole. Put a serpent on the top of it. I think it probably looked just like the ones that we see on the side of the ambulance. The pole and the snake around the pole. It's representative of a cure. Amen. Still represents that today. And he said, take that brass pole and that brass serpent. Brass in the scripture represents judgment. And what God was going to do was judge sin and deliver them from sin. Set that pole up. And he said, anyone that has sinned, they can go and look upon that snake. The snake is judged. The pole that holds the snake is judged. He has no power anymore because God has openly showed him to the people of Israel and showed them the nastiness and showed them the ugliness of what they had done. Amen. It was exposed for all to see, and all they had to do was go, amen, and go before that snake. And when they looked upon it, there was a cure that came to them. And the disease did not hurt them, and they did not die. Amen. If they had not sinned, they didn't have to go there. But as I said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, this is right after he talked about being born again of the water and of the Spirit. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Amen. He's got to be lifted up. And some say in the scriptures, we use this often, but it's actually not correct. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And we say that we've got to lift him up in praise, but that's really not what that scripture is saying. He was talking about his death. Right. Praise God. If I be lifted up. And they lifted him up and they nailed him to that cross. And he was lifted up before all men. He was half naked. His back was bloody and beaten. His face, the hairs that grew on his face after they captured him, had been pulled from his face. There was bruise marks on his face where they had slapped him. There was a crown of thorns upon his head. You talk about shame. Amen. The Bible says, cursed everyone that hangs on a tree. That's in the scripture. And he was cursed, amen, for a season and a season only. Because all of a sudden, all of the evil and all of the vile and all of that, there he is hanging, and he's looking down at those that had created him. And he was willing to take all of their sins upon himself and to become sin, that they might have an open door of deliverance. Praise God. If God was a vindictive God, he would have never put that serpent on a pole. He would have just said, go ahead and die. You've sinned, and it's your fault, and you're going to pay the penalty for it. But there's something about love. Amen. There's something about the divine love of God. He humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know if you feel what I'm feeling here tonight, but I'm telling you what, the price that he paid at Calvary was so very, very awesome. Amen. Because of the sins that you and I had committed. I put him there on that tree. You put him there on that tree. We're all guilty tonight, but thank God he had enough love and has love in his heart tonight and in his plan for you and I that we can be delivered from the bites of sin. Praise God. Praise God. And they said that afterwards, time had passed, and they took that brazen serpent that they made, and the Bible says they put it up and they worshiped it. And I forget what they called it, but they put it up and they began to worship it. You know what, folks? We don't have a cross in our church. We don't wear a cross around our neck. Grab a hold of it and pray a prayer to Mary or pray a prayer to God. Because it's not a lucky charm that we have tonight. Amen. It's not there for a piece of jewelry. Amen. We don't kneel down and pray before the cross. As a child, I was raised as a Catholic, and when the bishop would come to our church, they would have a cross that was about that big and about that wide, and had probably a plaster Jesus on it, and the bishop would come and he would hold it there, and all of us would have to go up and kiss the feet of that idol. And we did, because we were supposed to. And he would pop you on your cheek. I never understood what that was, but we joked about it afterwards, and we said he hit the ones that were troublemakers harder than the others. Amen. Well, praise God. That's idolatry. It's idolatry. A wooden cross is not going to help you. There are people in the Philippines on a certain day of the year, I believe it's Easter, they actually go and get tied to a cross and they hang there for a long period of time. Some of them actually allow themselves to be nailed to that cross, thinking that somehow or another that's going to pay for their sins. But you know what? You can't pay for your sins, because you would not be a sinless sacrifice. It is impossible that you could pay for your sins. The only way is to go into the penalty of sin, and that is death. Amen. I've seen young people die an early death because of sin. I've seen the middle age and the elderly die without God because of sin. And there's no way you can help yourself. Amen. There's no way that you can lift yourself up. There is only one antidote. Amen. There is only one cure for the sin of mankind. And I know I'm preaching something that you've heard before, but I feel it right now. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. Young person, mom and dad, whoever you are here tonight, don't entertain the temptation of sin in your life. Don't entertain it. Don't give it any open door. Amen. Because what we need to do is look to the finished work of Calvary. Praise God. It's finished. The brazen serpent is finished. Come and kneel before it and you'll be saved. Praise God, you'll be healed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. If you want to turn with me, I want to read a few verses if you will indulge me here tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. There's the devil right there, the princes of this world. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. We have that wisdom here tonight. I want to ask you tonight, do you have that wisdom in your heart? Do you have that wisdom down deep inside of you? The only way that you're going to know is when the time of temptation comes. Are you going to look to him? Or are you going to look at the temptation? Continue to feed your mind. Continue to feed your heart. Amen. We're living in an idolatrous generation where, and God help me here tonight, I don't want to cross a line here, but I spoke to the SRO, the student resource officer at the high school. I know him. I've ridden with him many times. I said, what's the biggest problem that you've got in the school here? He said, the biggest problem we have is girls taking pictures of themselves naked and posting it to everybody. You know what that is? That's what we call narcissism. Amen. It's a fancy word that comes from a Greek mythology. And there was a Greek mythological figure. His name was Narcissus. And Narcissus went down by a pool of water. This is their myth. He went down to a pool of water that was shiny and smooth. And he went down to get a drink of water and he saw himself in the water's reflection. And the story goes that he was so caught up in the beauty of his face that he could not leave. And he stayed there looking at himself until he died. That's what we mean when we say someone is narcissistic. All they think about is their self. All they look at is, what can I get for myself? Come on, somebody, help me tonight. I feel the Lord here. Amen. All we can think about is what I'm not getting or what I could get or how I can get it. Amen. It's lust. It's lust. Amen. And then what you seek for, you're eventually going to find. And that's an exciting truth, but it's also a truth that is not so exciting, because if we seek after sin, we're going to find it because it's everywhere. But if we seek after the Lord and we pray and we seek his face, then we will find the salvation that God has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. They would have left him alone because of the victory of the cross. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And so it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. So what he's saying here, none of us really have a full comprehension of the results of our living for God. Some of you, we could go through the stories. I wouldn't even dare to do that tonight. But some of us have gone through the fire and we've gone through the flood. Amen. We've gone through the time of temptation. We've gone and sometimes have failed, but we get back up and we go again. And we say, God, just let me go to that brazen serpent one more time. You've gotten discouraged because of the way, and you look down the path and you don't see any deliverance. You don't see any answers to your prayers. But eye has not seen nor ear heard. Amen. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. Amen. Samson looked like a failure to many people, And he did fail in a number of instances. But if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Samson in the book of faith. Amen. That he was considered a man of faith. You know why? In a very real sense of the word, he went to that brazen serpent. He believed and he went to that brazen serpent and said, I need a cure. Amen. While he was in the grindhouse grinding corn. Amen. He said, God, if you'll just have mercy on me, I'll live for you. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. He didn't give up, and we can't give up. Because nobody's seen or heard what God has prepared for them that love him. But if you get in the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to get excited about it. Praise God. You'll begin to, your spirit will be lifted up and you'll be delivered from that temptation. Amen. Because you can see, Abraham saw it afar off. Praise God. He was convinced of it and he spoke about it. I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I want to do the will of God in my life. Praise God. Why? Because I see something afar off. And it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the Holy Ghost tonight. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Praise God. What's freely given to us? Freely given to us is forgiveness. Come on, somebody. It's forgiveness. Forgiveness, that means that we don't give up, we go back to the altar again and we turn from it. And we begin to pray and we begin to say, God, help me, give me a way out of this. Help me to see how I can be free from this. Amen. And the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. There are things that are freely given to us. The problem is we don't accept them. Amen. The problem is sometimes that we don't feel worthy of them because of what we have done. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, after they looked at that brazen serpent on the pole, they went out the next morning and guess what? There was manna on the ground. And it wasn't very long until they got thirsty and water came out of the rock. You know why? Because those were the things that were freely given to us by God. And the rock followed them, and it was Christ. And he is the bread that came down from heaven. Praise God. Don't get to the place where you feel so discouraged that you're willing to give up. Don't ever give up. Amen. I said, don't ever give up. Just keep on plowing ahead. It might be difficult right now, but don't look at the difficulty. Look at the end of the road. Amen. Look at where we're headed. Look at what God has for us. Amen. Look at the plan of God for your life. It hasn't changed. Amen. His love has not changed. Just keep on keeping on for God. Amen. Which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Praise God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And so when you're in the Holy Ghost will teach you. Praise God. Praise God. The Holy Ghost will teach you some things. The Holy Ghost will, if you have a need in your life, pray about it in the Holy Ghost. And it won't be very long and you'll have it coming to you over the pulpit. It won't be very long and you'll be reading it in the Word of God and all of a sudden there it is. My answer right there. The Holy Ghost teaches. Amen. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Praise God. They got to the place where they could not discern between right and wrong. Eve got to the place, or was at the place, where she could not discern between right and wrong, and it led her to a place of death. Amen. We don't need to go that way. Amen. Because there is an antidote. There is a deliverance that God has for you. they are foolishness unto him. Praise God. The world thinks we're foolish. They really do. If you listen to the things that are coming out of our capitals, out of our big White House and the big Capitol up there, there are people in there that think that we are the fools of the world. And they say as much. And they would just rather, in fact, someone said not long ago, they said, if you are a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, you are not fit for public office. They actually said that, someone in a leadership position. It is hated. They don't understand it. They cannot receive it. They cannot receive the things of God because it is foolishness unto them. And unfortunately, I have seen those that have been raised on apostolic pews that feel like there is a better way. Oh, listen, friend, there's only one God. His name is Jesus. There's only one way to be born again. Amen. There's only one God. There's no Trinitarian God. Amen. I'm not going to look for an easier way. Amen. Where you can do whatever you want to do and a preacher will pat you on the back and tell you that everything's all right. And everybody will say, brother this, brother that. But you know in your heart you're not living right. I'm telling you what, it is foolishness. It is the folly of the fools to go in that direction. Amen. Young people, there's no better place than living for God. Amen. And if you don't believe the pastor, the day will come when you're going to get bit. Right. Praise God. I don't know what you do out there in the panhandle of Texas, Oklahoma, where they go out rattlesnake hunting every year, put all them slithering things down in there and pull one out and eat it. I don't know what they do. Do they wear leather pants? Do they wear something that is thick so that if a snake comes up and tries to bite them, it won't work? I don't know. They say they've got a pole, but what if you walk past one, don't see it, and he nails you? You're going to be in big trouble. I don't, first of all, want to go there and do anything like that, but I'd have a pole that was about 50 feet long. I'd snag that critter, amen, and I'd just hold it until he suffocated. Then I'd let loose and let him go. Go get another one. But they're out there grabbing those things with their bare hands. They must be from Tennessee or something. Amen. They even do that in churches where they get them rattlesnakes and they handle those snakes. It wasn't long ago I read where somebody was doing that, and they got bit, and they died. They died from it. You play around with things too long, and it's going to bite you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Play around with sin. Oh, I've been doing it for a while. I know how to handle it. You get around behind it like this, and when it makes a certain move, you grab it. But sometimes after a while, there's one or two of them that's a little bit more subtle than you think, and they turn around and, he got me. And then you're miles and miles away from a hospital, and before you know it, you're on your deathbed, dying because you fooled around with something that God said, don't fool around. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What does the Bible say? Beware of dogs. That's what it says. And somebody told me, a preacher that I was talking to the other day called me, wanted to know how things were going, and we got into a discussion about the Scripture. Can you believe that? And we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about things that are happening in our generation today. And he said, you know, the Bible says that we should stay away from dogs. Amen. Beware of dogs. And he said that the word dogs there makes a reference to sexual desires, loose and immoral, ungodly. Beware of dogs. You know what? They say don't ever grab a dog by the ear. Because he'll go like this. And if you get one of those that's a pit bull, Oh, Lord, what are people thinking? If you got a pit bull, just forgive me tonight. But don't get one of those things. The business end of that thing will hurt you big time. They got a jaw that can just, and when it goes like that, it locks into place. And you can flip them around and do whatever you want, but they're not going to come loose. And they'll tear you limb from limb. You'll be nothing but pieces when it's all over with. Beware of dogs. Amen. Oh, well, I don't have anything to worry about. I got a little poodle at the house. Well, let me tell you something. Amen. Let me tell you something. I went out visiting here in Augusta, and I had a brand new pair of pants on. It was the first time I'd ever wore those pants. And we knocked on the door. Some of you probably know who I'm talking about. Knocked on the door. Hey, yes, sir. And all of a sudden, this little rat about that big. Yeah. And I saw it coming, and I jerked my leg back. And he tore a hole in my pants about that long and got me with the front teeth. He was going for blood. I felt like picking that thing up and throwing it like a football. You rat. $30 a pair of pants gone. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. Some people, oh, that dog, he's human. No, he isn't human. Oh, but look at the beautiful eyes. He's looking at you. I know I'm preaching. Charlie and Stacy are upset with me right now. Amen. Because they posted pictures of their dogs. They played Dogopoly. Amen. Beware of dogs. Because they may not bite you, but they might, well, praise God. They might decide to do something that you don't want them to do in the house. If you want a dog, go ahead and get a dog. I'm not preaching against dogs. But I'm talking about spiritual people that have no common sense and do not understand when no means no. And they go by the lust of their flesh and whatever they feel. Amen. And they get involved in perverted sin. And they go to the depths. Amen. Beware of those things. Young person, beware of those things. Amen. Beware of that. Because it will turn around and bite you. Amen. Praise God. And where can I go and where can't I go? If you really don't know the answer, you need to seek counsel from someone like your parents or the pastor. Praise God. Appreciate those of you that come and say, Brother Worse, what do you think about this? Because, listen, there are things in this world that'll bite us. And we don't know what's really behind this. Amen. We really don't know what is going on in reality. Praise God. Sometimes that's the way it is. I'm not saying it's always that way. And I'm not trying to come across tonight like you're ignorant. But you know what the Bible says about us? That's all of us here tonight. That we are the sheep of His pasture. Did you know that? We are the sheep of His pasture. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? And I've done a little bit of reading about the sheep. And if you get there's a good book about sheep, The Shepherd and the Sheep. And he says they have to have constant attention. And a sheep can actually, they lay in the ground, and they make, there's a little place where they lay in the ground, they dig it out, and they lay down in there. But a sheep can actually turn itself and actually turn itself upside down and be on its back, kicking, trying to get around. But because they're so covered with that wool, they can't get themselves up. And because of their internals, it will only be a few hours and they will die. Because nobody's watching after them. Oh, well, I'm old enough. I've been in the church long enough. No, I want to tell you, your pastor doesn't feel that way about himself. I've got to have preaching in my life. I've got to have the Word of God in my life. Amen. You know why? Because I'm just a sheep. No claws to fight off an enemy. No bite. No venom to fight off an enemy. Can't run very fast. Get lost real easily. Get off of the way real easily. But I've just got to have the shepherd. I've just got to have the shepherd of my soul. It's Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, stand with me tonight. It's Jesus Christ. There is a place of deliverance. One and only one place. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. He's not in it for money like some are. He's not in it for position or pride or any of those things as some are. But he is the good shepherd. And when he decides to do something, it is always in the best interest of the sheep. It's not to hurt them. It's not to do any of those things. But I was reading in that book, and maybe I shouldn't even go here tonight because I'm not preaching any particular problem or anything. But someone asked him the question. He was teaching a younger man about leadership. But this one that was doing the teaching had his own flock of sheep. And he said, what they'll do is they'll go to the fence and they'll start digging. And they will dig underneath the fence and get out. If you don't go out and watch them, he said he has to go out twice a day and check on his sheep. Twice a day. I thought, my, that's an awful lot. Twice a day he's got to go out and check on them. And he said there was one sheep that would go up to the fence. Didn't do it out in the middle. Had to go to the fence. Want to get on the other side of the fence. Started digging. He'd fill up the hole. Would go back to the fence and dig another one trying to get out. Fill that one up. Go to another one. He said, what do you do with that one? He said, well, you try to get them away from the fence and try to show them that it's all right where you're at. But he said, after a while, that one will teach the others how to dig. He'll teach the other ones how to dig. And before you know it, there's going to be more than one that's digging underneath the fence trying to get out from the enclosure. Even though there's good grass, even though there's water, fresh water, and there's love by the shepherd. It's just the nature of the sheep to do that. And he was asked the question, what if you can't stop him from digging? And his answer was very telling. His answer was simply, lamb chops. Amen. Lamb chops. That's all we can do. I did as much as I could do. I went back over and over and tried to coax and try to help and try to do this, that, and the other. But that sheep just had it in his heart. I want to get on the outside of the fence. I'm not saying that God does that with everybody. Thank God for mercy. How many has experienced the mercy of God? I have many, many times. And I was talking to a preacher the other day, and he said, you know what, if I'm too hard on my young people because they trip up and fall, he said, I got to go back when I was in high school and what I did and what God forgave me of. And it helps me to balance and to see where they are. We're not going to condone sin. Amen. We're not going to say, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it. No, we're going to take them back to that serpent on the pole. Going to take them back to the place where they can find forgiveness and understand that there is a loving shepherd that will help them through this time in their life. And young people, you young men and young ladies here tonight, you're going to have times in your youth where you're going to have massive temptations, massive situations that come against you, and it seems to be an overwhelming situation. But I'm telling you, there's one place to go. It's go back to that pole. Amen. Well, how many times can I forgive? Well, let me ask you how many times he said we're supposed to forgive. 70 times 7, 490 times in a day. So if he expects us to forgive that much, how much can he forgive? He'll forgive as long as we go back to that pole. In sincerity. Amen. Not go back to kind of feel better for a moment and then run back out and do it again. I'll dig a little bit, and when the master comes home, I'll run out there and act like I've been eaten out of the field. No, that's not what we're talking about tonight. But a sincerity where I go back again and again and again. I don't know about you, but I've had to go back to that brazen serpent many times. But I have found one thing that every time I go, it works. Amen. Let's pray together right now. Let's pray. Come on.